The people were waiting expectantly and wondering in their hearts if John, that was John the Baptist, might possibly be the Christ. They'd been waiting for generations for the Messiah to come. The people of Israel certainly had expectant hearts. They perhaps weren't quite sure how this was going to happen or what form it would take, but they were expectant at the very least. Sadly, they were on the wrong track. They thought John was the one, John the Baptist, but it wasn't to be. And what we find always, even though Jesus spoke highly of John and said, you know, in the order of all the prophets, he was perhaps the greatest, but he wasn't the one. And he always deferred to the one who was to come, the Messiah. In this instance, Jesus Christ, of course. And what we have going on here, and Luke brings it together in a wonderfully inspired, of course, way in Scripture, is he shows how the line of prophets and the one, the Messiah who was to come, were around, and of course John was the last one in that line of prophets to prophesy about the Messiah. For centuries before, and we heard about it in the prophet Isaiah this morning, how we were looking forward to the Messiah to come. And here was John speaking at the same time as Jesus, wasn't far away, born within months of each other, beginning their ministries more or less at the same time. And here it was all coming together in this extraordinary place. So geographically and chronologically, it all came together. But more importantly, it was one of those kind of kairos moments. It was the timing, God's timing. And it was beginning to happen. And John knew, because the Spirit of God had worked into his heart, and he reckoned that this Jesus was the Messiah. And he made three important observations, I think, here, as in this gospel passage. First of all, he acknowledged, there is one more powerful than I. John was doing an extraordinary work and people were flocking to hear him because he was clearly inspired of God. But he knew instinctively that there was one more powerful than himself, and he was pointing to the Messiah. John understood that he was called to get people to be ready for what was about to unfold. We all need hearts that are open. Expectant hearts to be prepared for what God wants to do for us. And of course, we know that this happened at a specific time in history, 2,000 years ago. But that's still true today. God wants to do things for us today. He's longing to get a hold on our ears and on our minds so that he gets an opportunity to speak. We're very good at speaking, but sometimes we need to learn to listen to what God is saying. And I think in that prophecy that was read for us this morning from the book of the prophet Isaiah, we get something of a picture of what was being said to us. The promise within the prophet, from the prophet Isaiah, is extraordinary. And if we can just begin to understand the importance of what that means for us today, I think we ought to be rejoicing, not just today, but every day of our lives. For God has done a wonderful thing, and it has come to pass in the presence of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. This is something for today. This is a promise of God for now, for the present. And it's something that we need to learn to be aware of and to embrace. To embrace the understanding that God knows us by name. Each one of us by name. That is a wonderful thing. And when we're going through the most darkest of times, to know that God knows us by name and can lift us out of the mire and the tragedies of life that beset all of us at various stages is a wonderful thing. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. That is not to say that we will not go through challenges and difficulties. but that we have a God who walks with us and who promises to be with us and who will speak to us because he knows you by name, each and every single one of you. John understood this, and he was preparing people to have expectant hearts. Are you expecting to hear from God each and every day? Are you listening so that you can hear from God every day? It is true to say that we're all called to be involved in the ministry to which God has called us. And by virtue of our baptism, and hopefully baptism in the Holy Spirit, we are called to serve the Lord wherever he puts us. And this is the place at the moment where you all are. So this is the place in this church and in the community in which you live is the place where you're called to serve him. And sometimes you will feel completely out of your depth. Sometimes you will wonder how on earth you're going to achieve what it is that God seems to be asking of you. That is actually a very good place to begin. Because when we acknowledge our weaknesses, God steps in. And he will grant you the gifts and all the things that you need to achieve the tasks that he sets for you. And his enabling spirit will enable you to do anything he calls you to do. With God, we can. And if we, along with John, acknowledge there is one more powerful than I, then actually, that's where it all begins. Because it's all about what God is trying to do in our lives, in this world. So the big question is, have you submitted everything you are to the God of our salvation? Have you submitted your life, your ministry, your family, your friends, your relationships, even your finances, the whole thing? Have you laid it on the altar before God and said, I am yours and everything that I have is yours? And then watch him work, and he will work most wonderfully. So John, first of all, acknowledged, as the people began to raise him up above his own expectations, there is one more powerful than I, and we need to do the same. Secondly, John acknowledges there is one more worthy than I. Very often in our lives we'll hear the nagging taunts which leave us in a state of paralysis, afraid to move or do or say anything because we have not openly recognized that we are only because of Jesus Christ are we worthy. Only because of what he has done on the cross at Calvary are we worthy. Are we righteous in his sight? And it's only his worthiness that actually grants us and guarantees us our salvation. That's where it all begins. We need to be aware of that. Only he is worthy. And to recognize that because of his grace, he enables us to speak to God as Father. Only in this way can we do this. Only in this way can we actually know him as Father. Only through his presence within us can we do anything or indeed anything at all in his name. John said, there is one more worthy than I. John even said, I'm not even unworthy to unlatch the shoes of the latch on his sandals. I think we have to be in that place. And this isn't about putting us down, but it's actually recognizing where it all starts, where it all comes from. And then John began to think about baptism. He says, I baptize with water, but the Messiah will come and he will baptize with the Holy Spirit and he will baptize with fire. Baptism means to be immersed in water. You know, we don't do that in the Church of England generally. There are some churches that have baptistries, and I think that's right and proper. I think I've only baptized 3 people by full immersion, and it is an extraordinary event. We tend to use just a bit of a sprinkling of water. Bishop Tim had a different idea about that, but that's okay too. But here Luke is reminding us of what John was saying. Jesus wishes to baptize all who call upon his name into his spirit. And he wants us to be fully immersed. That's what baptism means, to be immersed. But to be immersed in his spirit. And once we allow that to happen, allow ourselves to be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, then something very special begins to happen. Because faith in God is just something, some facts that we believe about him. But it's about relationship. It's also about being able to acknowledge his presence and his power in our lives. And so many people come so far in their relationship with God and they're not quite willing to go that step further. But if we're open, God wants to fill us by his Spirit completely and to immerse us. And we need that because we cannot do anything in our own strength. We need the holy presence of God to fill us. And as we allow that to happen, so the experience of walking through troubled waters and knowing that God knows me by name becomes apparent and real. And that's a very special time. And also, of course, as we're baptized in the Holy Spirit of God, it means that while the spirit of prophecy that rests upon John and all his predecessors came to an end with John, something very special happened when Jesus sent his Spirit, because he enabled others to prophesy in his name. People like you and me can prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ. Or he might use us in other ways besides, maybe pastoral ministry. Maybe just befriending others. But there are a whole list of gifts that God gives by his Spirit as we open ourselves to his presence and allow ourselves to be immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. Have you done that? One of the wonderful things about the Alpha course is that it leads us to that place. We have actually a Holy Spirit weekend or day where we allow ourselves to think upon how it is that God meets with human beings these days. And he wants us to be immersed in him, in his Spirit, so that we can do the things that he calls us to do. Sometimes people don't carry on in that part of their journey of faith because they're a bit fearful. Maybe you have been. There's nothing to fear. Only to wonder that you haven't done it before. And that's why we're running Alpha courses, because it leads people to that place in their journey where they allow God to come in and to have his way in their lives. We also actually see that one of the consequences of knowing Jesus is that he desires to fill us, and it's not an optional extra, but it's kind of an all-inclusive. That's a popular theme these days, all-inclusive holidays. You've heard of those? Well, we have an all-inclusive faith. He doesn't want to leave us wanting, except for wanting more. So, today, as we think about John's ministry, it was kind of moving towards a conclusion. We haven't got to that place in the story yet. And then Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit. But it's all much of a oneness. It all comes together. John prophesied about Jesus. Jesus came. It's fantastic. And we need him. I need the Holy Spirit of God more and more each day. I think we all do. And I think now is a moment just to rest in his presence, just for a few seconds. And we'll ask him to come and to fill us afresh. And if that hasn't been your experience, then I suggest that you perhaps just hold your hands out. We can all do that. And just expectantly wait to receive. Because God wants to speak to you by name.